Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 457. Today, Chuck asks, in your own Mad Max world, what commodities would you have characters depend on?
Ho, 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 ho. Well, nice try. I'm not going to write your book for you. But I give you a basic framework of how to figure that out. There's basically four classes of goods. There's your essentials, water, food, energy. They're big. Those are your essentials. If you've got a shortage of one relative to the demand, you're going to have fights, or at least price wars, over those commodities. The second set of commodities are your cultural goods. This includes everything from entertainment to religion. Anywhere you've got censorship, you know, or a dearth of the ability to provide entertainment or anything like that. Cultural goods are not just entertainment. They're everything that goes on in the cultural conversation between people. Those kinds of goods are less likely to cause Mad Max-style resource wars, but, you know, the movie Strange Days had an interesting take on a cultural good that becomes the driver of massive, massive criminal activity and violence and that sort of thing. And it wasn't a Mad Max-style world, but that kind of thing in a Mad Max-style world would be fairly scarce. And so you could have that be a major influencer, driver, etc. You know, the trade of knowledge, the trade of entertainment, all that sort of stuff. Your third type of resource war shortage is your pinch point commodities. Maybe you're in a world where, for one reason or another, plants won't grow unless you have a particular exotic mineral to fertilize them with that is completely exhausted on the home planet, but is abundant in the asteroids. Any kind of highly in-demand pinch point commodity will do. In the history of the Earth, there have been wars over salt, over pepper, over sugar. Essentially luxury items, or components of luxury items, but so in demand that they became considered necessities by the populace, and that high level of demand meant that almost any amount of resources was justifiable to spend in trying to procure them because you could always turn a profit. Massive bull market, right? Or, if the supply remains forever constrained, massive perpetual pinch point market. So your pinch points are another place where you can get this. And this is what shows up in the drug trade. This is the international diamond trade, which is artificially scarce. But hey, pepper, salt, nutmeg used to be incredibly valuable for this reason. Cinnamon, all that sort of stuff. All very important. And then the last category would be political resources. This particularly is banking and communication. In a world where you've got a hegemonic set of interests that control banking and communication, there's going to be a violence-laden market in those things. This would extend to, for example, biohacks for access to public networks and things like that. So banking communication, generally access to the public sphere, is that is the thing I'm talking about here. Anything in any of those categories could be the catalyst, or the thing at issue, could be potentially the catalyst for a major apocalyptic collapse, or could be the thing that people are willing to fight and die and maraud over in the aftermath of such a collapse. Going back to our deep characterization series, you remember that first tier of stuff, food, water, energy, and the materials to build shelter, and access to the opposite sex, and sexual access to breeding partners. Those are the things that people will kill for, the things that people will die for, reliably, if they are in short supply. not just that some people will, but that anybody will. The further up Maslow's hierarchy of needs you move, the less likely you are that everybody is going to be willing to fight or die for a particular thing. The reason the Mad Max world holds together credibly is that oil, energy, a proxy for energy, energy is what allows life to continue in anything but the most ideal circumstances. It enables everything. You can make water with energy, you can make food with energy, you can even make air with energy if you need it. On a very basic level, as Heinlein said in the Rolling Stones, anywhere there is mass and energy to manipulate it, human beings can live. And that's why the world of Mad Max was held together so believably as a post-apocalyptic scenario, even if you can shoot holes all through the foundational myth from the first movie. So those are the lines along which I would advise you to think. You can have oodles of fun with them. And depending on what other items you bring into play in your background pre-collapse world, for example, you might have humans that have genetically engineered themselves not to be able to tolerate meat, for example, or so that they didn't need anything that came out of grain for environmental reasons or health reasons or what have you. And then you've got a collapse, suddenly they have either a leg up or a leg down on the surrounding population, and that will have all sorts of interesting social consequences. Thank you very much for sending the question in, Chuck, and I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.